Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Evil Dungeon Master Universe podcast. I am your host, the Evil Dungeon Master Vince. And today we're going to be looking at another thing from Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1E that can be applied to almost any edition or any fantasy game, because we're going to be looking at some artifact or maybe some powerful items in the DMG that most people forget about. And I think they would make an excellent device for a campaign. But first, ask the DM at theevildm.com is my email address, or you can go to theevildm.com and just click on contact me there, and it'll give you a little form so you can fill it out, or hit me up on facebook.com/theevildungeonmaster, or at Twitter, theevildm. So flipping to the, if you pick out the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, Efreeti book, or the green open door book with the Dungeon Master, which I love that cover too. One of my favorite books for D&D. Flip to page 144. And this is, I found this when I was looking to help someone else answer a question about something in one of the books. But I was looking around and immediately figurines of wondrous power came to mind. And I was like, oh, this is actually be a cool thing to talk about. And I think a lot of these things we didn't talk about on Roll for Initiative, though I don't remember. I mean, it was 11 years of podcasting, having little segments here and there. I don't remember if we covered this or not, but I'm covering it today for people who are listening today. So these are various figurines, but all have the following in common. Each apparently a statuette of small size, but an inch or so high, so it fits basically in the palm of your hand. Not that big. When the figurine is tossed down and the command word is spoken, and you have, as a DM, basically will have to say the command word, what it would be like, you know, form, you know, I choose you. I don't know if we play Pokemon, whatever. It'll turn into a living creature which obeys and serves its owner. Now, the owner could be whomever holds the actual figurine itself and throws it down to say the command word. Now you can decide, as a DM, is the command word engraved on it, or does it, you know it because you have detect magic and that's how you figured it out, or you had some wizard determine it for you after some research. It's really up to how you want to handle it in your campaign. It obeys its owner. Anyway, if the figurine is destroyed in its statuette form, it is gone. It's just, the magic is lost, there's nothing left, it has no power. It's gone. If it's slain in its animal form, because they're basically just all animals that you can control, and some of them have some really neat individual powers, it'll just turn back into the figurine and just land on the ground. So kind of like, you know, a Pokemon, the Pokeball just lands on the ground. And it'd be used at a later time, as long as the statuette is not broken. When figurines of wondrous power are indicated, roll on the table below to determine the type. And the types we have are pretty interesting when looking at them. We have an ebony fly, golden lions, a pair of them, ivory goats, trio, doesn't mean you get all three of them, marble elephant, obsidian steed, onyx dog, and serpentine owl. I think my favorite one out of all of them is obsidian steed, but when we get to that, I'll tell you why. Now, the ebony fly basically is itself a fly. You throw it on the ground, it turns into the size of a pony. The ebony fly has an armor class of 4 and a 4 plus 4 hit dice. It's maneuverability class C, so it flies at, according to old school rules, 48 inches, but if you translate that to modern D&D rules, that's about 120 feet when it's without a rider, and then 36 inches times 2.5 again. I can get that right. 90 feet there. And that's from someone that's 211 pounds to 350 pounds in weight. And that includes like everything on them as far as armor and what's in their bag and whatever they're holding. This item can be used 3 times per week, which is 12 hours a day. Now that's good to note, because later on there's a note about these things and what happens to them. Let's see here. And then once the command word, you can actually use the command word again to shrink it back into its statuette. Now, the golden lions are actually kind of cool. A pair of golden lions are exceptionally useful, and they come around when they become 2 normal adult male lions, armor class of 5 and 6, which translates to about armor class 15, armor class 14, 5 plus 2 hit dice creature, and has normal attack modes of a lion that you can look up in the book. If slain in combats, the lions cannot be brought back from the statuette form for a full 1 week. Otherwise, they can be used once a day. They enlarge and shrink upon speaking the command. Now, it doesn't say here how long per day you can use it. It can use me once per day. So there, as a DM, you have to put a time limit on this. So you could probably say that when they use it, they have 12 hours and then they go back in, because you have to limit it something, because you can't be like, okay, use it for a full day. It's the next morning, lion, use it again. It's just, it doesn't work that way. You have to put some type of limit on it. And that's your prerogative as the GM. You do how you want to do for your campaign. If you want them to have it sun up, sun down, that's your game. Now the ivory goats, each goat, so it's three, it's a trio, but you don't get all three of them because they all look different. And then you, as the GM, will have to determine which one of them you would have. Or you can give them all three of them and they have three different functions. There's the goat of traveling, which was basically a speedy enduring mount, armor class 6/14. 24 hit points and 2 attacks. It's not really an attacking creature. It's more of a creature for carrying things and getting to far distances, because it can carry a whole bunch of stuff, including a rider, at 120 feet or 48 inches before the book, bearing 280 pounds, which is not bad. So I would just load it up with stuff and bring it along, and it could protect itself somewhat. The goat can travel a maximum of 1 day each week, continuously, and in any combination of periods of traveling 24 hours at this point or when the command word is uttered, it returns to small form not less than a day before it can be used again. The goat of travail, and that's how it's listed, you know, strenuous activity. When commanded, this statue becomes an enormous creature, larger than a bull, with sharp hooves. They do 4 to 10 points of damage, which is 2d4 plus 2 damage for both hooves, and a vicious bite of 2d4 or 2d8, and a pair of wicked horns of exceptional size that do 2d6 damage each. If it is a charging attack, it may only use its horns, but it's a plus 6 is added to each hit on that round. Example, you can do 8 to 18 hit points total on that round with damage per horn. Its armor class is 0, which is an armor class of 20 translation, and has 96 hit points, and it attacks as a 16 hit dice monster. Or credit rating of 16 if you want to translate it that way, I think. Or you can just find something similar. It can be called to life once per month, and it moves approximately 24 inches, which is about 60 feet per its movement turn if you were doing it in battle. Obviously, these things for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons were meant for wargaming, because that's how they did it back then, but I've always translated it into feet for ease of use, because I didn't wargame and use minis in that form. Next up, we have the Goat of Terror. When called upon with the proper command word, this statuette becomes a Dyster-like mount, 36-inch movement rate, armor class of 2, which would be 18, 48 hit points, and no attacks itself, really. However, its rider can employ the goat's horn as weapons, so it does have an attack, but it has to be commanded to attack, or used to attack as a charge. One horn as a plus 3 spear or a lance, and the other as a plus 6 sword. When ridden versus an opponent, the Goat of Terror radiates a terror in a 3-inch, which would be translation of about 0.5 times 3, about an 8-foot radius, and any opponent in its radius must make a saving throw versus magic or lose 50% of the strength of your strength and suffer a negative 3 to hit on dice rolls, all due to the weakness caused by the terror. When all opponents are slain, or upon proper command, the goat returns to its statuette form and it can be used once every 2 weeks. Now, the goats have an actual limit. After 3 uses of each one of them, it loses its magical abilities forever, so it's gone after 3 uses. So use it carefully, use it wisely, and have fun with it. Now, the marble elephant is a couple different ones. These are the largest figurines, each statuette being about the size of a human hand, this one at least. Upon uttering the command word, a marble elephant can be used to grow the size of specific specifications of a true elephant and or return to a statue size. The animal created from the statuette is fully obedient to its commander, serving as a beast of burden, a mount, or attacking alone. Type of marble elephant determined by the following. They have different listing of them. Details of each creature can be found in the monster manual. The statuette can be used for a maximum of 24 hours 4 times a month. So it's not bad. They basically have an African elegant prehistoric mammoth, prehistoric mastodon, just a regular, normal, everyday elephant. Now, the obsidian steed, again, my favorite, because obsidian steed is basically a nightmare. So you throw down this nearly shapeless lump of black stone, and it will reveal, like, this weird dark horse of fire, whatever nightmare you want to describe in your campaign. Upon speaking the command word, the nearest formless piece of obsidian becomes a true nightmare. It will allow itself to be ridden, but if the rider is of good alignment, it is a 10% likely per use to carry. So every time you jump on the horse and try to ride it, or the nightmare, it'll carry its master, quote-unquote, to the first floor layer of Hades, then to return to its statuette form. See Monster Manual for details of a nightmare. The statuette can be used for a 24-hour period maximum once per week. Note that when the obsidian steed becomes astral or ethereal, its rider and gear also likewise become the same. Thus, traveling to another plane is easy and accomplished by means of this item. Why this is my favorite item, because I actually had this item in a campaign a long time ago when I was playing a lawful evil cavalier, aka a knight, in Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. You're allowed to have a lawful evil alignment for a knight back in Advanced Dungeons and Dragons because it was allowed. And I wanted to explore that, and the GM allowed me to do it to switch my alignment after first level. Still have a code to follow, but it's really interesting because I had this, and I found this, and I was just like, ooh. And I was riding my evil nightmare steed into town to just take advantage of things, and I was still following laws, of course, but it was a lot of fun. And I did a lot of terror with that nightmare beast and my cavalier, Sir Galvin. The Onyx Dog, when commanded, this statuette changes into a creature which has the same properties as a war dog. So basically it's a war dog. The only difference is that it has an 8 to 10 intelligence and communicate in a common tongue and has an exceptional use of its ability, its voice, and has visual abilities that are better beyond a normal dog. The creature has the ability to scent the trail, so basically it can sniff out anything the creature knows 100% of the time, unless it's an hour or less old. Well, the longer it's been there, the creature can sniff it out, and it has some modifiers about how long thereafter and stuff like that. It can detect invisible things 65% of the time, noting astral, ethereal, and out-of-plane things 50% of the time. For more details on its actual stats and everything, just use the war dog. It's telling you in the monster manual. The Onyx Dog can be used for up to 6 continuous hours once per week. It only obeys the person that holds the figurine and throws it down, its master. The last one is the Serpentine Owl. It becomes a normal-sized horned arrow, AC 7 or 13. It's got 2 to 4 hit points and does 1 to 2 points of damage when attacking. It can become a giant owl if the owner requires it. requires it. The latter use, however, is limited to 3 times. Thereafter, the statue loses all its magical powers. The normal size form of the magical statuette moves at with 95% silence and has infravision of 90 feet. And can see in normal above ground darkness as if it was full daytime. Just get my book and move it over. So it's kind of an interesting creature itself, but it's not really an attacking, so be careful. And it could do twice as well as a human at that. Its hearing is so keen as the ability to detect a mouse moving 60 feet away, thus silent movement rate chances are reduced by 50% with respect to the serpentine owl in smaller form. So when it's in giant form, it has more of abilities. Furthermore, it can and will communicate with its owner by telepathic means. Didn't they have that? Never mind. Informing all it sees and hears according to its low intelligence of 2 to 4 in normal size. If commanded to giant size, a serpentine owl in all respects is the same as a giant owl. For more information of a giant owl, you look in the monster manual for the stats on that. So that is basically the figurines of wondrous power, they're called. And I think the figurines of wondrous power are really good things to have. They aren't too powerful for a campaign. So, I mean, if you're handing this over to, say, I don't know, level 5 or level 6 character, and they have this, I think it'd be a great item for one person to have in the campaign. I mean, I wouldn't be giving this to everybody. Or maybe you could base a whole campaign and take these figurines, and your players are the owners of these figurines, and there's only these, whatever, 4 or 5, however you want to give out, and your group is the only one. You could change them around. Obviously, you do what you want in your campaign world. Maybe you can use them like how they would be something like a Power Ranger situation. The characters will fight with, you know, their normal abilities throughout the day. But when it comes time, boom, they throw down that figurine and they get these extra abilities of these creatures that they can control. Kind of like a Pokemon or maybe like a Power Ranger situation. I think it'd be kind of a cool idea to do that and give these people the ability to control them and maybe change the abilities around as far as how many times you can use it, how often, and it never goes away. And maybe these are legendary power items that'll rework in your campaign, and maybe because they needed to defeat some big bad along the way. I don't know, that's just racking up some really cool ideas in my mind of what I can use these figurines for, because I think they'd be really awesome, especially to give out to, you know, players that are very good with role-playing and ones that won't abuse it, because you get people that abuse it, it just kind of sucks. And, you know, it really defeats the purpose as a GM or DM when you get players that do that, and I hate that. All right, well, tell me what you think about the figurines of wondrous power. Would you use them in your campaign? Do you think they're too powerful? Would you adjust them? Tell me what you do in the comments on YouTube. YouTube.com/EvilDM. I put these podcasts up there as well. I'm on Spotify, or you can get to it really quickly by anchor.fm/EvilDM. It'll redirect you to my podcast on Spotify. You can look it up on any major platform. The Evil Dungeon Master Universe, I'm on all the platforms, including Apple, Spotify. 5-star reviews are up to like 60-something now. I appreciate those that jumped over there on the app and hit the 5-star review. And keep them coming. And I'll keep these podcasts coming. I'm enjoying doing them. Today was a little bit longer. Usually I try to do only up to 15 minutes, but this is closer to 20 minutes at this point. But I'm really enjoying it. TheEvilDM.com, heading out for today. Keep it original, keep it old school, and good night, everybody. God bless.